Welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. We're so grateful for Molly and Chase to be here today to share their considerable talents with us. We're asking at noon today for you to have a moment of silence. We will be ringing the church bell 300 times to commemorate the 300,000 lives lost due to COVID-19. And we hope that you will join us in spirit as we do this solemn task. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord. And Henry are going to come and tell us about the fourth candle of Advent.
The fourth candle of Advent. The fourth candle is the candle of love. Jesus is our love. He is with us always and loves us at all times.
A candle is burning, a flame starting show. Reminds us that God's love will always endure. Deep love like the ocean, steady as the tide. Great love which comes to us with arms open wide. We light this candle for love.
Thank you.
so delighted when our families can join us. Would you join us in singing Faithful Christians, One and All? That time of worship where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We are so delighted to celebrate with Sybil and Richard. They celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary this week. And Richard, if you're watching, you are one lucky man. We're also delighted to let you know that George, whom we've been praying for, is doing well. He's on the mend. We have several people who are in need of our prayers, and I hope that we not only pray today, but throughout the week, would you lift up these folks in your prayers. Mary has asked for prayers for her brother Jeff, who has been hospitalized. We want to remember my nephew Keith's friend, whose name is George. He's on a ventilator due to COVID-19. We want to remember Jewel Ann. I had the privilege of meeting her a few months ago when I performed the wedding for her son and daughter-in-law. Jewel Ann is gravely ill. She's been in a nursing home and now has also tested positive for COVID-19. A friend of mine, Tom, has asked for prayers for his siblings, Lee and Susie. They became quite ill with non-COVID-related illness. Please remember Tom and his siblings in your prayers. We want to remember Warren, who's the head of our Bridges ministry, and he's been having some ongoing health issues. We want to remember Doug, who's a friend of my buddy Corey. Doug has been quite ill, and he's living with his parents who are caring for him at the moment. So please remember Doug, Charlie, and Barbara in your prayers. Want to remember Ray, who's continuing to have complications and has follow-up visits with the doctor. We've been praying for a lady named Molly, and her condition is improving. We want to continue our prayers for her, for Kevin awaiting a transplant, for Rhea and Dean, who are still in cancer treatments, for Carter recovering from a car accident, for the children, Jaden and Madeline, and for Elfie, as she is with her beloved companion, Trouble. And we also want to remember all of those in Great Britain who are facing a very frightening time with this pandemic, and for those who are struggling with loss this Christmas season. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, in whom we live and move and have our being, we are grateful. We're grateful that Richard and Sybil have seen another year of married life. We ask that you would continue to strengthen them and give them joy. We're so grateful that George is doing well. And Lord, as we look at all of those who are in need of your compassion and care, all of those who are in frightening circumstances, we remember our brothers and sisters in Britain, and we ask that you would surround that nation with your healing mercy. For all of those who are struggling here, we ask that your grace would shower upon us. We lift up Jeff. We lift up George, Jewel Ann, Lee and Susie, Warren, Doug, Barbara and Charlie, Ray, Molly, Kevin, Rhea and Dean, Carter, Jaden and Madeline, Elfie. Lord, as we name these dear ones, we are grateful that you know everything about them, that you have not abandoned them in their moment of crisis. We ask that the comforting presence of your Spirit would surround them, that the divine physician would grant to them grace and healing. And may we be all sustained by the power of your might. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is taken from the second book of Samuel. Now, when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all of your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And our New Testament lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. And our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And there I
Our reflection is written by Kathleen Harris. The words in today's gospel are veiled in mystery, yet unambiguous. They are hauntingly lyrical, yet earthy, even pithy. But in 2020, as Mark Twain once said, no word was ever as effective as the rightly timed pause. Mary, after asking Gabriel to explain practicalities, had a doozy of a silent moment before saying, okay, let's roll. In that breath of silence, Mary chose to embark on an unknown spiritual journey rather than decline God's invitation. Some theologians emphasize Mary's obedience to God's authority, perhaps aided by Gabriel's extraordinary appearance. But when she responded, "May it be done," Mary was expressing something more complicated than obedience. She was answering with active trust and faith. Mary willingly consented to the incarnation. Because of her informed faith, she knew the agreement with God was not one-sided. She knew that God's promise was, to quote 2 Samuel, to be with you wherever you go. Their covenant was a relationship based on mutual commitments. This moment in time, this Christmas season, feels like a breath of silence too. Our world seems paused, waiting. Will we say yes to God's call now, however things unfold later? Will we cultivate the spiritual landscape we find ourselves in today, or give in to bitter inertia and wait for better times? What would Mary do? After her let's roll answer, Mary didn't sit down and wait for something to happen. She hurried to her cousin Elizabeth for counsel, and upon arrival, she sang a prayer of praise, the Magnificat. She lived with her worries, but had enough love and determination to help her friend, staying with the older woman until Elizabeth's baby, John, was safely born. Like Mary, we are asked to be servants of the Lord. This Christmas, can we answer with our own fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum? Let it be done according to your word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Angel or no, Gabriel or no, I would have held out for film rights if I were Mary. There is no way that I would have said, let it be done to me. I think I'm a little wiser than Mary. Maybe it's good the angel didn't come to me. I would have at least asked for a few more details, like, how are you going to provide for the education for your boy? How are you going to keep him safe? Who's going to tell Joseph? Are you going to accompany me when I tell him the happy news? What about the villages, the villager people, who might not believe that I was visited by an angel? In those days, a woman caught without benefit of a husband and pregnant could be stoned to death. How are you going to protect me? Maybe I should marry up. Maybe there's somebody in a neighboring village who has a little more money than Joseph. I want to know what your plan is. And I don't think I'm alone, because don't we all do that to God? We want some sort of quid pro quo when God asks us to do something. Okay, if I do this, then I want that, a transactional relationship. as if we could ever be transactional with the God of all the universe who gives us breath to our bodies, but we try. What would you have done if the angel had come to you? What is so remarkable about Mary is not just that she said yes to that particular task, but she also made a lifetime commitment. You parents know that. You know that after the kid turns 18, that's not the end of your parenting. If you don't, you'll find that out. Mary made a lifetime commitment. When Jesus went off at age 30 to fulfill his commitment as the Son of God, to start teaching and preaching and healing, she didn't say, "Boy, I gave you the best years of my life. Go do great things. I'll see you later." What did she do? She became his disciple and started taking orders from him. Now, you who have parents in their elderly years, you who have the roles reversed, know how difficult it is for parents to take orders from children. I remember when Mom would sit at our table and Bob would say to her, "Celia, do not feed that dog under the table." And my mother would look right at him, smile, and feed the dog under the table, because nobody was going to tell her. Or the time my father's caregiver said to him, "Your daughter Dawn said," and Daddy's jaw clenched and his eyes flashed, and he said, "What does it matter what my daughter said?" I was commiserating with a buddy of mine who had parents of that same age, and his parents were as recalcitrant as mine. And he said to me, "Well, this helps us, Dawn, so that when we get to that age, we know how to behave." And I said, "Speak for yourself. I plan to be difficult. So boy, if you're watching me, heads up. In a few years, you're going to know." It's awfully hard to take orders from our children because we've been the ones in charge for so many years. But yet Mary followed Jesus as a disciple. She was at the foot of the cross. And when her boy was ushered safely into the arms of God, when he took his seat at the right hand of the Almighty, her discipleship did not stop there, for we find her in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, waiting to receive the promised Holy Spirit of God. When God calls us to obedience, when God calls us to covenant, it is not for us to say, "Well, what's in it and what's your plan? And if I like the plan, I'll go along with it." When God calls me to forgive someone who has done me wrong, it is not for me to say, "I don't think that person is worthy of forgiveness. God has called me to do that." When God calls us to feed the poor and to lift up those who are hungry and those who are in extremity, it is not up to us to say, "I don't know if they're worthy of that." We leave that to God. We walk in obedience. Whatever the call of God is, we need to walk in that kind of trust and obedience and understand that, like Mary, we're given absolutely no assurances. But we also know that when we say, "Let's roll," when we walk in obedience, we have an adventure of a lifetime. When God comes to you and I, it might not be through the angel Gabriel, but if you crack open the Bible once in a while, you're going to find out what God wants from us. He wants us to love justice. He wants us to surround ourselves with mercy. He wants us to walk humbly with our God. He wants us to lift up the brokenhearted and set the captive free. And every time we walk out in obedience, it's not one call, it's a lifetime. As Mary teaches us, she had a lifetime of living into God's call. And may we, her spiritual heirs, live in to our call from God. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the witness of Mary, who spoke and obeyed and followed until journey's end. Thank you for her tenacity of spirit. I ask, O Lord, that you would plant in us that same tenacity, that same obedience, that same love and trust until our journey's end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shadows lie dark and deep across the way. We must tread from day to day. There's a light sent to cheer us, though it gleams on high, like a beacon in the midnight sky. See the light shining clear. 'Tis the Christ that our longing eyes behold. He will lead us on. By the lure of sin beguiled, still the day star is pointing to the shining way, leading upward to the gates of day. See the light shining clear. 'Tis the Christ that our longing eyes behold. He will lead us on till the night is gone and the splendor
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in the name of Jesus. Amen.